This is a brief book summary of the works of John Owen, Volume 4, Part 1, A Discourse on the Holy Spirit, continued, from Banner of Truth in 1965. Chapters 1 and 2. This work will examine the way that the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of men. We will look at the grounds and the reasons for believing that the Scriptures are the Word of God, and how it is that we come to know the mind of God and the revelation of His will as found in Scripture. Illumination is a supernatural effect made in the mind whereby a person can know the mind and will of God. The only objective cause and means of such illumination is supernatural revelation. The only way to have spiritual illumination is by the work of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, God revealed Himself to certain people in such a way that they had no doubt it was God. They accepted it by faith, but He also gave convincing proofs. The revelation that God gave was always sufficient for the times. During every era, God provided a sufficient ministry and raised up servants as His vessels, but the majority fell away into apostasy. God brought together into the canon all of His revelation that the church needs and benefits by, and this canon will last until the Lord returns. It was in Christ that the Scriptures were brought to fulfillment and perfection. Thus, the Scriptures are only external means of supernatural illumination, since it is the only place where God's special revelation is found. There are other adjuncts that God uses to teach us about Himself, like our personal studies, the preaching of the Word, and mutual instruction, but these are in the service of God's Word. For illumination, we believe that the Scriptures are the pure Word of God, and that it is perspicuous and understandable. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God. It is our duty to believe by faith that the Scriptures are the Word of God. The material object of our faith are the things contained in Scripture. We accept the propositions of the Bible, understand them, and believe them. Scripture is infallible, and we must receive it with an infallible faith. Our faith is not infallible because of ourselves, but because the Spirit is infallible. And so the evidence that He provides is infallible. We are led by the infallible Spirit to have infallible, incontrovertible evidence that the Scriptures are God's infallible Word. Our faith is anchored in the authority and truthfulness of God Himself. We have a moral duty to believe and obey what God says. It is on the basis of God's testimony that we have doctrinal truths and believe them. Why do we believe that Christ is the Son of God, the Savior? It's because God commands us to, and everything He says is grounded in His authority and truth. The only grounds we have for accepting that the Bible is the Word of God is the work of the Spirit and the evidence that He provides. The Spirit of truth uses the Bible's own evidence to prove it is God's Word. There are evidences for Scripture that are external to the canon, and although these reasons cannot be the grounds for our acceptance of Scripture as the Word of God, they do assist faith and they silence objections. Even the best and most cogent arguments adduced by human rationality are fallible, and so we need the divine testimony and evidence that only the Spirit can provide. These other reasons, however, can be helpful in clearing the ground of objections so that the proper foundation can be laid more readily. The antiquity and excellence of Scripture demands that it be shown respect. First, crafts are normally poor, but the Scriptures are the first writings, and they excel all others. Israel was not an advanced nation, yet her law was stable, and moral truth was greatly surpassed those of the arts and science and wisdom of the surrounding nations. This is because it came directly from God. It has directed people to God from the very beginning, and God would not have suffered it to persist from the beginning of time if it was a deception. Despite all the power and the persecution of the devil, the Bible still stands. The providence of God in preserving the Scriptures is miraculous. Despite apostasy in Israel, the hatred of the Babylonians, Greeks, and Romans, the exiles and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, God's Word was perfectly preserved. Scripture is designed to reveal God to men and to direct men to the enjoyment of God, the two things that are most important in life. While the world is lost in superstition and idolatry, Scripture provides all that is needed for us to know God in His properties, nature, and works. No religious conception of God comes close to what Scripture reveals. It transcends our ability to fathom and reveals the degradation of everything else. God's word tells us how to enjoy him, and in doing so, it perfectly reveals our sin and apostasy, as well as the only remedy for restoration. Nothing else in other religions comes close to this resonant truth and empirical reality. The testimony of the church is another reason to accept Scripture, but not for the reasons that Rome gives on behalf of her own supposed authority. In its proper place, the church holds up the word through the ministry of preaching and teaching. The biblical authors recognize that their own words and the words of each other in both testaments came from God. Across centuries, cultures, languages, personalities, every biblical writer wrote with a gravity, clarity, and authority that bears the stamp of God. Those who believe in Christ testify to the power of the word. The testimony about Scripture is not only that it is good, but that it came from the inspiration of the Spirit. Those who attested that their ministry was from God had their words confirmed by the miracles wrought by the Spirit. Far from gaining worldly pleasures, the authors of Scripture were often martyred, and those who followed them were persecuted. Not only did they testify verbally that the Scriptures were the Word of God, they lived and organized their entire lives around that truth. God chose the weak and the foolish to be his vessels, that his mighty power might be displayed when people were converted. The world was conquered not by the arms or the force of eloquence, but by the proclamation of the truth. It is difficult for us to comprehend how enormous the cultural religious challenges were to the first Christians who were proclaiming the crucifixion of the Messiah to Jews, Greeks, and Romans. The world was also in a state of widespread peace, and the lust of the flesh held society captive. Where the Scripture meets with various receptions in history and in the world today, it is owing to the sovereign work of God. It is a righteous judgment of God that when nations have had and then reject his word, he withholds its power and lets them walk in darkness. Chapter 4. Divine revelation is the proper object of divine faith. The only grounds for our faith is the authority and the testimony of God. We do not believe in Scripture on the basis of fallible human arguments and probability, though such arguments have their place, as we have seen. If we do not accept Scripture on the basis of God's truth and authority, then we do not properly believe in it at all. The best of human reasoning will fail to produce a sure demonstration, and thus we need the Spirit. If our evidence only makes the conclusion probable, we cannot with certainty accept the Scriptures as God's Word, and thus we cannot with certainty believe its propositions. The faith by which we accept that Jesus is the Son of God cannot be more certain than the faith by which we accept God's Word. Scripture teaches us things that transcend our reason, and the natural man considers the truth of God to be foolishness. Given our depravity, apart from the work of the Spirit, we cannot accept the Scriptures as divine truth, as is our duty. Divinely given, supernatural faith is necessary for a proper reception of the Word. Those who accept the gospel have a full suasion that goes beyond the merely natural limits of the human mind. Without the supernatural light of the Spirit, our minds cannot be renewed or grasp the truth of God's word. Everyone born in depravity has a darkness of mind that hates the light, and this is increased by teachings and superstitions, so the only solution is divine illumination. In Scripture, this illumination is called a revealing and a revelation. The Spirit is not unfettered from the Scripture and does not guide us apart from it. Without the aid and assistance of the Spirit opening our eyes to see the truth of God's Word, we would be blind. We are to test the spirits, and we do so on the basis of Scripture. Every believer holds the Scriptures as the Word of God on the basis of the same reason, that is, the Spirit. The Spirit gives us illumination in which our faith consists. He also gives us a spiritual sense of the power and the reality of the things that we believe. He helps us resist the doubts that can rise from the temptations that we have to reject the Word. Many fall because they maintain a profession of belief in the Scriptures, but inwardly they doubt its power and truth. When we doubt the authority, we doubt the truth. When we see our lust condemned, we can choose our lusts and jettison Scripture, since it is too difficult to acknowledge Scripture and live in open sin. Papist teaching and example have undermined many people's view of Scripture. Yet nothing is sufficient to overpower the light and the ministry of the Spirit. Chapter 5. The formal object and reason of our faith is saith the Lord. It is the authority and truth of God which convinces. We believe because God has revealed his mind and will in the Scriptures. We do not believe on the basis of natural demonstration, for that cannot demonstrate the supernatural, nor on the basis of probable proofs. It is the Scriptures that prove the Scriptures. God's voice is self-authenticating. Through the ministry of the Word, the truth of God is made known. Only by the Spirit's internal work will we be convinced to hear God's voice. God requires it as our duty to accept the Scriptures on the basis of his own authority. Many may claim to speak for God, but God's word is as different as grain from chaff. Jesus said that if people will not hear the Scriptures, they will not believe, even if someone came back to them from the dead and spoke to them. Since the word came from the inspiration of the Spirit, it is to be received. The Scriptures are given to us as the object of faith, and we are to accept the same way that the people were responsible to accept the words of the prophets and the apostles. The New Testament accepts the Old Testament on its intrinsic authority, and this is the same for the New Testament writings. Chapter 6. We know some things by natural first principles, in the first rational movements of our minds. Other things we know by rational consideration. Certain other things are known by faith, and this depends on testimony. Faith can be of many kinds, various degrees. God reveals himself to us in each of these three categories. For faith, we give assent on the basis of the testimony of God alone. Nothing that is true in any of these categories can be in conflict with any of the others. What we learn by faith can transcend our ability to reason, but it does not contradict reason. All of God's revelation to us is infallible as evidence in its own category. In creation and providence, God has made his existence and character perfectly plain. But people reject it not because it is fallible, but because they are wicked. Even more than its creation, God has so put himself in his word that it is an infallible revelation and is proof that it is from God. It is our duty to give assent to the revelation of God, but since we are blind to the light, we can only do so through the internal work of the Spirit. Faith is assent to testimony, so divine faith is assent to divine testimony. In Psalm 19, David marvels at God's glory revealed in creation, then says that the revelation in God's word is even greater. It is by the divine excellencies in the word that we see who the author must be. The author is the Spirit, and he is also the one who gives us the light to see. The divine source and authority of Scripture is confirmed by the power and authority that it has over the minds of men and how it transforms them. Scripture reveals the secrets of the heart and pierces to the innermost being. The principal divine effect of the word is the conversion of sinners. It is this which shows the incredible power of God. Changing, converting, renewing sinners in all ages is a testimony to the hand of God. Scripture brings conviction of sin and changes consciences so that the word is the ruler of conscience and the old principles are overturned. The light of the word drives out the darkness of Satan and deception and evil. Only divine power can call people out of the darkness that they love. Yet even many who hate it cannot bring themselves to reject it entirely. Many who have fallen into the most painful, crushing trials have found hope and consolation in Scripture. It is the secret work of the Spirit to infallibly secure our faith in the truth and authority of the Scriptures. Chapter 7. The evidence of the Spirit is not more convincing to the wise and learned than to the uneducated. For both, the work of the Spirit is the same. The highest power of our soul is to give assent to the testimony, and so assenting to the testimony of God is the noblest exercise of our soul's power, and it brings greater assurance than anything else can do. Assurance comes from the Spirit and the glory of the revelation. The principal way that the apostles used to convince the people of the word of God was to preach and proclaim it. Some learned scholars have set out good proofs for the Scriptures, and there is a place for such arguments, provided that they are cogent and also that they are not presented as the sole or chief ground on which our faith rests. God himself has ordained that the truth of the Scriptures should be proclaimed in the preaching ministry of the church. We are commanded to receive the Scriptures as the Word of God, but many of God's commands go beyond our fallen abilities, so we require the Spirit's grace. Where God's Word is rejected, miracles will also be despised. To be continued.